that is constantly taking something old and reinventing it or reimagining it into something new. And nowhere do you see that better than in the movie industry. I mean, they will constantly take an idea and reuse it, rechange it, like Spider-Man, for instance. I mean, Spider-Man has been done so many times. In fact, there's been 21 actors who have played Spider-Man over the years, and whether it's on movies or TVs or animation. I mean, you just talk to Spider-Man aficionados and you just throw out the question, who's your favorite Spider-Man? And you can go into hours of debate, whether it's Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, or probably the reigning favorite in my household, Tom Holland. Or maybe you're a little old school and you like Paul Soul, the original voice of 1967 Spider-Man. But sometimes the reinvention or reimagination of stuff is a little less obvious. And so unless you're a huge fan of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, you may not realize that the movie Bridget Jones is just a reimagining of that classic tale. Humanity is adept at reinvention and reimagination, taking something old and changing it into something new. And yet we still live in it with a tension, because if we're honest, we don't love change. And so we have this push to change and adapt, but we also fight it. And nowhere is that more prevalent in the church, I think. A common refrain in the church is this. Have you heard this before? We've always done it this way. Or we've never done it that way. Both statements leading us to believe that change is very difficult. Talk to any church leader, any leader who has to lead something in church, and when they have to lead a major change, they know it's one of the toughest challenges they face as a leader. And yet that's exactly where we find ourselves today. COVID has forced change upon us like we haven't seen in a long time. And we are having to re-examine and reimagine how we even worship, how we do ministry in light of this new context. And if we're honest, it hasn't been easy. Trying to balance the practices we hold dear with the restrictions placed on us by the authorities over us, and even our own comfort levels of what is going on. It is so hard to get clarity when things are so complex. And over the past 6 months, we have made a number of changes. We have tried to adapt to the situation. We have changed the order of the service. We have shortened the service even. We have added elements to the service that we've never had before, like the questions at the end of the message. We have even moved to pre-recording the service, all in an attempt to adapt to the changes that have been forced upon us. And even with these changes, and we know they're hard, we know people are missing coming together to worship together, connecting with friends on a large scale. Some of you are missing your Southridge Kids leaders. Some of you are missing Thrive on Sunday morning. Some of you are missing serving people on Sundays and throughout the weeks. And almost all of us, I would say, are missing being in the presence of God, coming together and being in that presence together as the body of Christ. And so over this past summer, as I looked forward to the fall, I reflected on a number of conversations I had with staff and with others who I'd been connecting with. And I felt that we could not continue doing what we've been doing over the past 6 months. We had to reimagine what church would look like given our current context. How do we reimagine gatherings? Because we can't do what we all want to do and come back all together on a Sunday morning. So a few weeks ago, as I was thinking through this, I was reading in Romans 16, and I know, Romans 16, like, why would you read Romans 16? You only read Romans 16 if you're reading, like, the whole book of Romans. Because, I mean, all the good verses, they're way before that, like Romans 3:23 or 6:23 or even 8:1. All those verses are the good verses in Romans. You get to 16, all it is a bunch of names. Why would you want to read a bunch of names? It's Paul saying hello to his buddies and his friends who are there at the Roman church, the church in Rome. And yet, that's where I was in my devotions. And so I started reading. I'm going, okay, God, what am I going to get out of this today? And I started reading, and I got down to verse 3. So if you open your Bibles, let's turn to Romans 16, verse 3. And this is what it says in Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They have risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. So you have this shout out by Paul, who's giving a shout out to his friends who've obviously done something that they risked their lives for Paul. We don't know what it is, but it made obviously a huge impact on him. And even though that's important and that's amazing, that's not the verse that stood out to me. You know what the verse that stood out to me was? The next one, verse 5a. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Now, I don't know the picture you get of what was going on in the church in Rome during Paul's day. Sometimes I think we read these verses and we have our own context and we impose or superimpose our context on what we're reading in Scripture. And so I don't know, maybe you thought that Paul wrote his letter and someone delivered it to the church and the church gathered on Sunday. Someone got up on stage, pulled out the scroll and started reading all of Romans to the church and said, hey, okay, guys, we're all here today. Let's read it. Obviously, from this verse, the church was spread out over all of Rome. Probably they didn't have a place where they could all meet. I mean, churches didn't start getting built for another couple hundred years. And so you have the Church of Rome actually being churches that met in houses throughout the city. And I think it even is reinforced when you look at verses 14 and 15. In verse 14, Paul lists a bunch of names and then he says this, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Like it's another house church. And then verse 15, another list of names, and then it ends with, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Another evidence, possibly, that there was more than one house church, obviously, in Rome. And so you have all these small church house churches in Rome comprising the church of Rome. And it's interesting to see that because I think what it helps us understand is this. The church has never had to physically gather in one location to be considered the church. Let that sink in for a second. The church has never had to gather in one location to be considered the church. I mean, even we know that as Southridge, right? We actually don't have a facility big enough for our whole church to come together on one Sunday for one service. That's why we're in two services. We have too many people for our facility size. And when you think about it, some of you, you know, some of you are the 9 o'clock service. Some of you are the 11 o'clock service in the good old days. And you would faithfully attend that service. And then sometimes for whatever reason, you would have to go to the other service, the opposite service. And you would get there and probably most of you would feel like this is a little weird. And it's not because worship is different, because it's the same worship team, it's the same person preaching, but your friends aren't there. There's a different feel to the service because it's different people from Southridge making up that service. But never once would you have this thought. I'm from the 9 o'clock service. You know those people in the 11, they're not part of our church. Of course, both services make up Southridge. We're one church, but we happen to meet in two different times. And so it's just a reminder for us, even in these times when we can't gather together as the big church, that the church has never had to physically meet in one location to be considered the church. And you see this in Rome. And yet, even though we know this intellectually, and I'm sure as you're listening, you go, okay, yeah, Brent, I can see your point. I understand that. I think we still have a strong desire to gather at a specific location, or it doesn't really seem like church, right? Is that how you feel? I mean, I think that's been our COVID experience. I mean, it's been awesome to have the ability to put together a service for you, give it to you online, and you can sit there, click on it, and watch and participate and listen and sing. I know not all of you sing, but sing, and then pray with us, and then discuss the questions at the end of the service and have an experience that way. But most of us, even though we can do this in our own home and most of us do it with our families, I think most of us consider that that really isn't church. I mean, we try and make it church, but we know in the back of our mind that there's something missing in that experience. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. There's another example of the church. And this is a well-known example. Maybe many of you have read it before. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 46, it says this, every day they, the church, continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so you have the church in Jerusalem. It's newly formed. In verse 41, it tells us there's 3,000 people that have been added to the church. And so you read that passage, and I've often read that passage, and go, okay, of course they gathered at the temple courts, at the Temple Mount, because they are huge, 3,000-person church. Where else are they going to gather? They can't do it in homes. That's the one spot they could gather. And as I've read that in the past, that's my thought. But as we've gone through COVID, I've had another thought. And I wonder if part of the reason they met in the temple courts wasn't just because they needed the space and they were a huge group of people. But I wonder if part of the reason they gathered together in the temple courts was the fact that the temple was important to them. Before they had been saved, before they became followers of Jesus, before Jesus even, a Jewish person would come to Jerusalem, and because that was the only place where the temple was. And in order to find forgiveness from their sins by sacrificing animals, in order to be in the presence of God, they had to come to the temple because that's where God resided, the temple. That's where they could sacrifice and find forgiveness of their sins. That place for them was sacred. And yet when Jesus comes, everything changes, because with Jesus, when he dies and rises from the dead, no longer is the temple needed. Jesus' death was that one-time sacrifice for you and I. We no longer had to continually offer sacrifice. All we had to do was to go to Jesus to get forgiveness from our sins. And so you have this change that is happening, this reimagining of what church would look like. And yet they're still, I think, tied to the Temple Mount because they had viewed it as sacred. And then you have the Holy Spirit coming. After Jesus ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes upon the early church, and the Holy Spirit indwells each of the believers. And now no longer do they need to go to the temple to be in the presence of God, because the presence of God is with them. So that wherever they go and wherever they meet with other believers, all of a sudden that place is sacred. That space is sacred. And so the New Testament church, those early believers, had to learn the important lesson that the place, the temple, was not sacred. It was the space that they, when they came together, that became sacred. It is not the place, but the space that becomes sacred for the New Testament church. And it's the same thing for us. I mean, I know trying to do church in your homes with your family, with your kids, or just the two of you, or maybe by yourself, is extremely difficult. It's hard. It's not the same as gathering together. And I experienced this a couple of weeks ago. I realized how much I'd been missing. Because normally on a Sunday, we'll gather together, me, Pam, and the kids, and we'll sit there and we'll watch the service, we'll sing, we'll participate, and then we'll discuss the questions after the service is over. But a couple of weeks ago, we did something that was a little different. Pam's family came over, so her mom and dad were down, and her sister and brother-in-law came over, and instead of 5 people who would normally watch the service, we now had 9 sitting around on couches and chairs watching the service, and it was a totally different experience. And one was probably because there was more people. Definitely numbers was a factor of that. But I think even more so was the fact that there was a group of people that were not my immediate family. They're not the people I live 24/7 with. They were outsiders, even though they're family. They're other people who were coming into that space. And they're other believers who love Jesus. And we were gathering together. And we were experiencing a sacred space in that moment. Because we were worshiping together, we were listening together, we were interacting together with the Word of God. And it is different when you do that, when you have more than just your immediate family. And so I think that's one of the lessons as I look at these verses that we need to incorporate and understand as we look to do what we need to do in the fall. And so I think part of the reason we long to be back in our building is not because our building is anything special. It's not that, you know, that's the only place we can find God. But it is a place where we have experienced God before. And there is some truth to the fact that the presence of God is different when we gather with other believers than when it's just by ourselves. There is a difference to that. And yeah, you know, when we used to meet in the good old days, it was interesting. Like Pam and I would talk with people who it was their first service at Southridge, and just to see what their experience was like, just to get a feel for how they enjoyed it, or what did God speak to them. And more often than not, often the person would tell Pam or the person would speak to me and say this kind of sentence: "You know, I was here this morning and I could feel the presence of God in this place." And they weren't talking about, you know, how nice a facility we are and that's why God was here. They weren't talking about that we served them coffee and that's why God was here. And they weren't talking that we have a nice couches in the fireside room and that's why God was here. They're talking about the reality of that our people coming together, our church coming together and worshiping and hearing God's word and encouraging each other in that moment, that God was tangibly present in that moment because his church came together. The family of God came together. And I know that's what we're missing in many ways in this time of COVID. And even though we know the place is not sacred, we know the space can be sacred when we come together and we're worshiping together. I think this is important to understand because there's another passage in Acts that I just want to spend a couple of moments looking at. And in Acts chapter 1, things change for the church in Jerusalem. Let me read verse 1. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the rest of the region." And then in verse 3, it goes on to say this: "But Saul began to destroy the church." Notice what it says. It doesn't say he went to the temple courts to destroy it. It says, "Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them into prison. These verses tell us, point out that obviously the early church was no longer meeting on the Temple Mount, in the temple spaces up there. In fact, it looks like because they could feel the tension of the day, the persecution starting out, they had moved to meeting in homes, and that's where Saul hunted them down. That's where Saul went to find them. And then through this persecution, a disruption happens in the early church, and the church is scattered, which I find interesting because it's not the apostles that are scattered, it's the people within the church that are scattered throughout the region. The apostles, the leaders of the church, actually stay in Jerusalem. And as I was reading that, I was going, man, that feels like today. Like, I come to the church building 5 days a week. I work here. I prepare messages. I shoot messages here. I meet with staff members. We plan things out that are going to happen. And it feels like it's normal until it's Sunday when we're not here. And that's the same for all our staff. They're all coming in. They're all kind of have a routine that's somewhat normal. And yet we're not here on Sunday. Our church is scattered. And so our church isn't just meeting on Sunday morning in Langley, in Murrayville. Our church is meeting in White Rock, South Surrey, Maple Ridge, Langley, Abbotsford, and I mean even, hey, Ricky, Squamish. We have church all over the Lower Mainland. It's everywhere. It's scattered. We are the scattered church right now. And yet it goes on to say one more amazing thing in verse 4 of chapter 8. It says that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Meaning that scattering has never been a punishment for the church. Whenever the church has been forced to scatter, whether it's persecution or maybe even during COVID, God has always used that scattering to advance his mission. He has. And we've even seen it in our church. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, a parent, who was telling me that their older child, who wouldn't normally come to church on Sunday to this building, has been participating with them, watching the service when they watch it in their home, engaging with it, talking about the questions, answering the questions after the service. They've been engaged with the service, something that would not normally happen under the old way of how we met. Something new is happening in the scattered church. And that's one story of many that I could share. God continues to work even while we're scattered, and we need to remember that. But the truth of the matter is that scattering has never been easy for the church. Even though God continues to work in it, it hasn't been easy. You see, I think when we scatter as a church, it tests the individual believers in the church in a way that they haven't been tested before. And I think if some of you were honest, you would admit that your spiritual walk before COVID has been really attached to Sunday mornings. And since COVID has happened, and since we haven't been able to gather together as the church on Sunday mornings, your spiritual walk has suffered. And you realize that the other discipleship rhythms in your life that you should have, need to have, aren't as strong as they could have been and should have been. And so your spiritual walk has been suffering during this time. And in fact, I think some people, as I've been talking to people in our church, some people have just disengaged from church altogether. They don't even watch the service during the week. They don't have that connection with the greater body, even by participating together to watch that service. And in part, because we don't meet together, we don't gather together, there's less accountability for people. And it is easier for people just to let it go. It's pretty hard to let it go when someone sees you or calls you up and say, hey, I haven't seen you at church in the last 2 weeks. Because no one's calling each other, hey, I haven't seen you in church the last 6 months. That's not the phone call we're having right now. And we need to be reminded of Hebrews 10, where the writer in Hebrews reminds us not to give up on meeting together as the church, even though some of them were doing it in those days. But we are to meet together to encourage each other, to spur one another on. That idea of spurring each other on has to do with accountability, has to do with challenging each other in our walk. And for many of you, you're missing that because we've been unable to gather together. And that's the hard part of scattering. That's the hard part of seeing the church out in the community and not gathering together in a single place. Because scattering causes disruption, right? It forces us to think in new paradigms. It makes us look for new ways of doing things. And for us, I think it's helped us to think through and reimagine what could be, what maybe should be. So what does this mean for us as a church? What does COVID in the fall look for us as Southridge? I came to the place where I realized that we couldn't keep doing what we had been doing for the first 6 months. I believe we have to change what we're doing for the fall. And yet we still live in that tension of trying to understand what we need to do as a church and still living under the authority of those God has placed in governance over us. And so as we've been considering it and as I've been thinking about it, I think we need to come to a place this fall where we restore the rhythm of gathering together. We need to explore what that could look like under the current climate. And so for starting at the end of September, going into the middle of December, for that period of time, we are going to launch into something we're calling the microchurch. And we're trying to put together small gatherings, micro churches, throughout Langley. So there'll be some off-site ones, but also in our building. And so there's a couple of different ways we're doing this. And so I've been talking with our community group leaders, talking to them, giving them a vision for trying to do a micro church as a small group, so that they would meet on, say, a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or maybe some other time during the week and watch the service together with their small group and participate as a church together in that moment. And still have the best of the small group experience where you know each other, you can ask the questions, you can get in each other's lives, but also then have that moment of worshiping together and being together with the rest of the church focused on the same thing. And to be honest, for those of you who are going to be in those off-site microchurches, this is a huge ask of you. I understand that many of you would prefer to come on-site and be part of an on-site microchurch. I totally get it. But what I'm asking you for the next few months is to be very intentional about the mission that God is giving us. And yes, this is going to require sacrifice from you. It means that you won't be able to come to the church building to be one of the sites here. But you will be with a group of people gathering together, creating a sacred space to worship God together and be the church, even though it's scattered. For others who aren't in any of our community groups, we're offering on-site microchurches starting at the end of September. We're actually going to offer 8 microchurches on-site. And let me just explain what that means. It means that every week at the 9 and 11 o'clock, we will have two very different groups come in, two at 9 at the 9, two at the 11. And we're doing this because we know that we need to follow the orders, the health officer orders. So we are going to have, you know, cleaning protocols. We're going to have social distancing in place. We're going to have groups of under 50 together that meet. And one of the things that we think is really important in trying to organize this is that we are going to put groups of people together so that you stay with the same people in that same service for the next 3 months. And so what that means is that you're going to have to sign up for one of our micro churches. And if you've ever been part of our soccer camp and registered your child for soccer camp, you'll know exactly what we're going to do. We're creating a link, and you can go to our website to find that. It's on our website, micro church registration or something like that. I can't remember the exact title right now. You click on that and it'll go and it'll give you eight different service options. And you'll be able to select two of them as your preferred choice. And then there will be a section of if you have a friend request. So if there's another family or another couple that you would really love to be in service with, and you better ask them and get them to put your name on there as well, you put their name down and we will do our best to include them in the same service you're in and do our best and try our hardest to put you in one of the services that you select. But we can't guarantee that. We know that we have more people that might be interested in doing this than we have space for. And so I encourage you to, as soon as you can, sign up for it. And for those of you who have families, we're actually trying to make two of those services, two of our 9 o'clocks, I think, at this time, family-friendly services, which means that we will have something for your kids to do during the service component of it. Now, I know we just don't have a lot of space, and so space will be limited for that. And so we will not be able to accommodate every family in those spaces. So I encourage you to sign up for those family-friendly microchurch options. As part of following the health officer's guidelines, we of course want to encourage singing, but we will be requiring masks for people to sing during the worship component of the service. You can take it off for the rest of it, but during the worship component, we will be requiring masks. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create spaces that will become sacred because we gather together as the church. And we're going to have micro church sites on site. We're going to have micro churches throughout Langley and Abbotsford and across the Lower Mainland. And so I'm excited about this. I think that I know that not all of you will participate in that, and that's okay. I understand that there's a number of you that will have concerns about gathering together with a larger group than you already are, or including others in your somewhat loose bubble by adding some more people in that service, and I totally understand that. And there's reasons why that's a concern for you, and I affirm you in your reasons. I just want you to know, to be secure in your decision of whether to participate in it or not. And if you don't, I encourage you to continue to take in our services at home with your family, watching it on Sundays or at other times during the week, and continuing to join us as the church in that. As we enter into the fall, we continue to live with this disruption of COVID. And yet we're trying to reimagine what it would look like for our church to gather. And that's what we're really trying to do. And so I'm asking you to extend us as leaders grace in this, and as we try and attempt new things. And so let me just pray for us as we enter into this season of change and excitement as well. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for just this message. I thank you that as we look at the New Testament church, that there was a number of different models and a number of different ways that the church gathered together. And it's a great reminder, Lord, that it's not the place that is sacred. It is the space where we gather that is sacred, because it is you inside of us. It's your spirit inside of us as we gather as believers together that creates that experiencing you component. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray for those who will be leading the micro church sites. Give them wisdom and grace and discernment on how best to do that for each group that gathers with them. I pray for our leaders who are planning and trying to figure out things so that this all goes smooth and well. And I pray for those who this isn't even an option, that they have to remain continuing to watch the service at home with either their family or by themselves. I pray that you would encourage them today in all of this. In everything, though, Lord, I pray that as we continue to live as the church, that we wouldn't get sidetracked with debates over gathering or not to gather, but that we would continue to focus on the mission that you have given us. And whether we're scattered or gathered, that you would continue to work in our lives and through us to reach Langley and the rest of the Lower Mainland for you. In Jesus' name, amen.